God's best gift to men. John 3:16. Man has three problems he cannot solve. Do you know what are they? If you were to analyze the life of human beings, and if you were to spend time in the study of men and the makeup of men and the troubles, the things that confront men, you would find that it boils down to these three. It is sin, sorrow, and death. You ask anyone to analyze realistically, very frankly, the life of men, you would come to this conclusion. Of sin, we see that this world is plagued by hatred and violence right in the beginning, in the garden. You know, the first family was broken because the elder brother killed the younger brother. It was meant to be a beautiful home. Father, mother, with the two sons, Cain and Abel. But what happened? And that began the history of violence, the history of hatred, the history of calamity amongst men. The British author, John Blanchard, he said, recording this for our learning, he says this, that out of the past 4,000 years, there have been less than 300 years without a major war. He says that peace, as a pastor, he quoted, puts it, is merely that brief, glorious moment in history when everybody stops to reload. And this is the plight of men. And that is why God had to send the global flood. Remember in Genesis chapter 6, the Bible tells us that the heart of man was evil continually. And God sent the global flood and none survived except Noah and his family, his wife, three sons, and the daughters-in-laws. A miserable plight. How God had to judge the entire world. It was a global bloodbath by water. And then, if you were to analyze human history closer to our time, he tells us from 1480 to 1941, Great Britain was involved in 78 major wars. France in 16, Spain in 64, Russia in 61, Austria in 52, Germany in 23, the United States in 13, China in 11, and Japan in 9. That is the past 400 years of man's existence, plagued with violence and trouble. How is it that men just cannot live peaceably with another man? And the 20th century, the century that just passed, was hailed by many as the beginning of a millennium of peace and prosperity. But this claim was nothing but an empty idealism, this writer tells us. He says, in recorded for us in World War I, 1914 to 1918, many believe that this will be a war that would end all wars. And yet, 30 million people were killed. Men just could not solve his problems. And every time he could not find a solution, he would trigger the panic button, and that is violence. And if you were to look nearer history, after the First World War, you see the beginning of the League of Nations. It was founded in 1926. And it was supposed to avert catastrophe. Its role was to maintain world peace, international peace. That was its primary aim. But by 1928, 58 nations that had signed up, well, they were all involved in the Second World War, eventually. And that took 90 million lives. And so the League of Nations was wound up, and when it's, and after the war, its function was taken by the United Nations. And its goal, to establish in succeeding generations freedom from the scourge of war. And as we think about the last 60 to 70 years, statistic has for us that man has not been that peaceful living one with another. So many major wars has taken place, and here is recorded for us the Cold War. It is said that at the peak of nuclear armament, there were 320,000 million tons of high explosives, 100 tons for every man, woman, and child on Earth. And the United States had enough aerosol nerve gas to kill all life in an area of 455 million square miles, 8 times the area of the whole surface of the Earth. If you analyze human situation, the world political situation, you realize that it is quite worrying, isn't it? And it tells us the problem that is plaguing man, something that is within him that he cannot solve. What's wrong with the human heart? I submit to you that it is this problem called sin, a nature that he has inherited when the first man, Adam, departed from obeying the living God, the God who made him, and the God who placed him in a paradise, and he gave it all to the devil, to Satan. With sin comes sorrow. He cannot avoid it. And grief is an inevitable result of this fallen world. Broken relationships, broken family bonds, broken marital bonds, plagued human existence. Somehow, we just don't know how to live peaceably, joyfully with one another. What is wrong with us? How is it that we cannot, much as we try? What is that missing ingredient in our lives? And to top it all up, death comes. And it is so inevitable. None can escape. 10 out of 10 will die. And when death strikes in a family, the entire family sorrows for the departed loved one. It is better to be found in the house of mourning than in the house of feasting. For the Bible says, therein is the end of men. And we are awakened to the reality of life. And we are awakened to the sad plight of men. Is there no remedy? Is there no hope that man will solve his problems? this that we have identified for you. The Bible is the only book that has solution to the problem of sin, sorrow, and death. If you were to travel out of Singapore, you would come to various places. You would see beautiful scenery. Well, we saw beautiful maple leaves in autumn. How the color just is different all the time. And with the different lighting and the different environment, you see the great beauty of God's creation. And yet, as you look at the creation of God and what He has given to man, you see how fallen man is, that he has not understood the way back to his Creator, to know his God, the one who made him, the one who gave him all these things to enjoy. Natural revelation through creation is only limited knowledge. But God's revealed word is His special revelation for us that gives to us the divine solution to solve our problem. Well, you have to go back to the Maker. He has the instructions. He has the specifications. And so the good news is this from our text, that there is indeed that solution to sin, sorrow, and death. And this is God's divine cure for mankind's three problems that He cannot solve. Our scripture text, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the good news for us in a nutshell. The good news for us simply placed, well spoken. And I want you to notice one word that is in this verse, and that is the use of the word perish. You see there, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Here the text tells us of the perishing of man in suffering and the perishing of man in the reality of death. How it is a cold, hard, and cruel truth that we don't have a solution. And scientists have spent much effort to cross that psychological age of humankind. But they could not. When they reached the age of 120, they said that there is a barrier there that cannot be surpassed. And the perishing man, or the perishing of men, the Bible reveals to us in the book, is not simply just sin, sorrow, and death in this physical life. This weak body that we experience, the inevitable weakness of disease and sickness, has a deeper, more significant consequence and impact that is beyond this life. And the Bible tells us of the consequences of judgment in hellfire for eternity after death. And this is what John is speaking about here when he tells us that when we believe in the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we avert the wrath of hellfire. And the Bible gives to us the truth concerning the frightening prospect of death. And sometimes it requires that we be very truthful to share with you what God's Word says concerning the afterlife, so that we may not have any illusion where we are going if we have not life in Jesus Christ. And therefore, this frightening prospect we want to bring before you as a foreground to our message, that men without God would perish in eternal judgment of hell fire. And what is hell like? We have been speaking about it in the last few sermons. We said that it is eternal emotional torment and eternal physical torment. We want us to think carefully about where we are going. And the Bible reveals to us a truth that we cannot get anywhere else, an inevitable reality that will come upon us when death would strike. But death has lost its sting because of what God has done, of this good news. God wants us to see that there is an escape. There is a way out. There is a remedy. And I am in a very good position to offer you this remedy to sin out of God's Word. Three thoughts from our text. Firstly, God loves you. And secondly, God sent His Son to save you. And thirdly, God gives you faith to receive eternal life. This is God's gift to men. And it is a gift that we want to bring before you, especially in this Christmas season, where we remember the coming, the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. As you see, the world celebrates Christmas with their carols and the shopping and the feasting. Well, we want to remember the child that came in a manger. How God loves you. And that love that God gives to you, I want to bring before you the greatness of it. How great was God's love for mankind? That love was not just mere talk, but it was an action word. It speaks of strong affection, and it also speaks of the will to carry through that love. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." This love was highly sacrificial, and this love was very costly. You know, when God created the heaven and the earth, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit was there in a perfect union. That perfect relationship. The Father together with the Son and the Spirit. And it was a fullness of joy. It was a fullness of peace. And it was a fullness of wonder of wonders. We were studying this during our church camp. And we were so thrilled by what God has done. And then what happened? Men fell. And God had to send His Son to be that solution. And it was a highly costly, sacrificial move when God sent His only begotten Son. Why did God have to send His Son? It was to pay a price that we cannot pay. You recall the time when God called Abraham and God gave to him a son by the name of Isaac. And God asked him to bring his son to Moriah. And he asked that he would sacrifice his son. And if you read the passage of scripture, you see how Abraham was so slow and deliberate in his obedience of God. It was a difficult thing to sacrifice his own son, his only begotten son. The word begotten there means not created. He was there eternally with the Father from the beginning of no beginnings. And what happened? Well, God had to send His Son in order to offer that solution to man's problem of sin, sorrow and death. And so this first thought that God loves you is something that we want to bring before you to let you know that something has taken place 2,000 years ago. And in fact, right from the beginning when men fell, the redemption plan of God started kicking in. The Bible says the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. Genesis 3:15. How the solution would be the seed of the woman. We have heard of the seed of men, but the seed of the woman, unheard of. Well, this is the only begotten Son of God that has been prophesied, that God has, the Father has sent in order to be that redemption, to fulfill that redemption plan for mankind. And you notice that when Abraham had to sacrifice that his son, he found it so difficult. But he knew that by faith, the Lord would offer a way. And indeed, a lamb was caught in the thicket, a goat was caught in the thicket to be that substitute. And so Isaac did not have to die. But when the Father sent the Son had to go to the cross. That was the strength of love. It was painful because that triune relationship between the Father and the Son saw that moment of separation when the Father had to allow the Son to be crucified on the cross between heaven and earth, and the sins of the world upon Him. God loves you, and He provided His Son to save you. And that is a great mystery of mysteries. How in that moment, in that 6 hours when the weather suddenly changed, the entire atmosphere becomes dark for 6 hours as Christ hung upon the cross. And there He bore the sins of the world. Can you understand that? The sins of the world. It's as if you put a magnifying glass, and you know, as the glass is focused upon the sunlight and it hits a particular spot, that intensity of heat would finally burn the surface in which it is focused upon. And that was that sacrifice, that love that brought that sacrifice. And we want to let you know that there is indeed a solution. God has given that solution. And it, because He loves you, and therefore He sent His Son to save you. And the Bible tells us, thirdly, the third thought, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. The phrase there is very unique in the original. It tells us that you shall not perish. You shall not surely perish. You will never perish by the power of the omnipotent God. You will be saved. That is the solution. If you would only believe. And God wants us to have faith in this simple message of salvation. Our third thought, God gives you faith to receive eternal life. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This life is not just for this moment. You know, when Christ died for us, He did not just give us a clean slate, but He gave us a full slate. He gave us the fullness of the Holy Spirit to live this life well. He gave us the fullness of His Spirit to overcome sin. The Bible tells us that he that is born twice will die once. And he that is born once will die twice. The solution to man's problem is a spiritual rebirth. And this is the solution here that is given from the Word of God. That God, because of His love, has sent His Son to save you. Jesus Christ. Jesus means Savior. And Christ, He is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the One that God has revealed Himself, who will save you and to give you eternal life. This is a thought that mere men without the Spirit of God cannot understand. I could not understand until I reached a very old age, nearly the time of at the university. How is it that I could understand John 3:16? Well, God illumined my heart and gave to me that understanding. I understood the love of God. I experienced the love of God. Because there is that emptiness that was in my heart that could not be filled. The emptiness that somehow the jigsaw puzzle of life just could not be placed together. And that supreme solution is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that I could not understand until someone would sit me down and took time to show me. And then I understood. And it was joy in my heart from that day onwards. And I have not looked back. And the life of the Christian indeed is better and better because we look forward to an eternity with God, the gift of God to men was His Son. And whosoever would believe in what He has done for us, how He has lived a perfect life, 33 and a half years without sin, and when He was crucified upon the cross, how He took our sins, and He died, and He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose from the dead. No man has ever risen from the dead, except Jesus Christ, to live forever. When He was risen from the dead, He did not die again. And we look forward to the day when He would send, the Father would send the Son again to give to us life, everlasting life. The Bible tells us that we do not have to sorrow as those who died without Christ. But those who die in Christ are but asleep. A day will come when God would raise them from the dead. And that is a precious truth that we comfort one another. That we know that there is this everlasting life that we look forward to. And so, when we face the trials of life, of sin, of sorrow, and eventually of death, we realize that there is an escape. And God has given to us that solution. If you have not received Jesus Christ, I urge you to receive Him today. And you have received Jesus Christ, then I ask that you would be an ambassador for Him to share this good news to a dying world. Do you know that this world is truly in need of a solution to its problems? And Christianity is the only solution. And you are the privileged people with the message of salvation. God has opened your eyes. And God would want you to, by His Word and through His Spirit, open the eyes of others by His grace. So, as we conclude our message, God's gift to man, we want to recall and recount God's love for us. Because He loved us, therefore He saved us. And we know how we are saved. Through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we receive faith when we believe in the gospel, and that gives to us life everlasting. And we marvel at how God gives life to us, and we just want to thank Him and we praise Him for all that He has done for us. And may God bring us, each one of us, to be good ambassadors for Him this Christmas season, to our loved ones, to the people around us, that they may see the Christ in us, they may see the change, they may see the good news, that indeed when they see us, they see the good news. We are good news to them. We are a blessing to them. May God indeed use us, transform us for His glory. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for giving to us Thy word. Lord, we want to praise Thee for the gospel, the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ, and the fullness of life in Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we cannot fully understand, but we thank Thee that having studied Thy word through the Gospels, we have understanding of who Jesus is, and how when we abide in Him, how when we go to Him, we have our sins cleansed, how we receive forgiveness of our sins when we come to Jesus Christ, and how we receive peace, peace that this world do not know of. O Lord, we thank Thee. And weak as we are, Lord, we thank Thee that indeed You are very strong. And our weakness is no loss to ourselves, but it gives to us that holy dependence upon Thee, that in Thee, indeed, we have life and strength. So Lord, may Thou undergird Thy people with Thy mandate to go forth with Thy love and with the gift of Thy love, Thy Son, and to that many indeed may receive eternal life according to Thy good pleasure and Thy will. Save, Lord, we pray, especially our loved ones and those who are still outside Thy kingdom that is dear to us, and whosoever that Thou would bring into our lives. May Thou be merciful. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.